Oh, good.
This happened to be down the breeze.
I'm not, one thing I'm not is I'm not short. Well, it is Mother's Day, isn't it?
Amen.
Yes. Yes, it's Mother's Day. And what a Mother's Day gift, a daughter being baptized today. Isn't that awesome? Yes, that is great. That is great. So it's good to be here in the house of the Lord today, just kind of looking, seeing who's here. We had our spring banquet Thursday night. If you attended that, I hope that you saw that that was well. I heard that was through the grapevine of many people. That was our best one that we've had. And the Lord did bless us with that. So I think we, that night, I think, total, like, I think right now it's 31,000. So yeah. So it's really good. It's really good. Yep, yep. We'll come back to that later on. Oh, we got some Mother's Day gifts here, huh? 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 Yeah. Yeah. It is amazing to know that when you are a believer in Christ, that you can have good things and other things happen all at the same time. And but even when you're going through a storm or you're going through great blessings of the Lord, God is still good, isn't He?
Amen.
He is. He's still good. And these 13 baptisms is wow, it's all from Him. I go back and I look in our books of baptisms, and every year we get 5, 4, 6, and when we started including, when we started to include a special time of prayer, making it a focus, because you can't make back, you cannot make baptisms happen. But it is through fasting. And one thing I've been trying to generate through my pastor peers throughout our association, our state, is I keep pressing that fasting works. Fasting works. And so we also ask the Lord to give us, you know, an increase in our people. And for the last 4 or 3 years, I think that's been on our prayer and fasting. And every the last 3 years, we have definitely increased. And this year, we have increased. We had one Sunday that was not over 100. That comes from prayer and fasting. I'm telling you, folks, God is just waiting to do something if you just get serious about who He is. All right, so we're going to talk about some things today. So, yeah. If you have your Bibles, we're going to be in 1 Corinthians chapter 12. Today I want to share with you about spiritual gifts. I want to help you understand a little bit about what spiritual gifts are, how they work, what they are. There is debate on certain ones, but I just want to talk about the ones that are in the Scriptures. There is debate, is music, singing, other things, are they talent, are they a gift, whatever it may be. There's debates over those. Not going in that direction. I want to stick with the ones that are in the Scriptures here today. So what is a spiritual gift? How do we discover our spiritual gifts? And so we're going to talk about that a little bit today. Because Scripture says that every believer will have a spiritual gift. And we're going to talk about that this week. And there's so many of them. We're going to talk to so much of it. We're going to talk about it next week, the Lord willing. So let's go ahead and pray. Father, Lord, we do ask for Your presence here upon this service here today. As we talk about spiritual gifts, I pray, Father, that we'd understand them, know them a little better, maybe find out maybe what You're trying to work inside of our own lives. And may You use this time, Lord, to draw Your people to Yourself. And those that don't know You, draw them also to Yourself, that they may know You and have that relationship of salvation with You. In Christ's name, amen. So what we're looking at here is, it says there in the verse, now concerning spiritual gifts. That's all I want to read right there. Now concerning spiritual gifts. This is what we're talking about today. Spiritual gifts. Spiritual gifts. Now today we have these gifts here for mothers. We have these gifts here today. It's completely different than what we're dealing with today. These are given to us by people, but these are spiritual gifts are given to us by the the Lord. Did you guys give those out already? Wow, okay, got a lot left over. All right, so here we're going to start in verse 4. Now we know that this all is concerning spiritual gifts. Verse 4. Now there are different gifts by the same Spirit. There are different ministries, but the same Lord. And there are different activities, but the same God produces each gift in each person. So what we see here right now, he begins to share with us, if we break down this moment here, because we're going to talk about these individual spiritual gifts, but we're also going to talk about some other things that involve them, such as this. There are different gifts. There are different gifts. There is a lot of gifts. Now, someone said, can anybody have them all? I don't think the Lord's going to give one person all of them. There is a reason why the Lord gives us these gifts. And it says there are different ministries. So there are different ministries that need different gifts, such as hospitality, such as teaching. Those kind of gifts are there. Leadership. There are different types of ministries. And so they're a part of the church. So the church has different types of ministries. But it says, but the same Lord. And there are different activities, but the same God produces each gift in each person. So we see that there are different, also there are different activities. So we do different things in the church. We have different ministries in the church, and we can do a lot of those in how we are as human beings, but God gives these special gifts to people, all of his believers. He wants everybody to be involved. Uh-oh. What did I just say? He wants everybody to be involved. He wants everyone to be involved. Because it all is to edify the church. That's what it is. Spiritual gifts are to edify the church, to lift up the church, and to help the church be stronger. So here we see that God produces each gift. These are gifts that come from God. These gifts are coming from God. And in each person. So don't think that because if you're a believer that God did not give you a gift, you have a spiritual gift. The question is, do you know what it is? Number two is, are you using it in the way that God wants you to use it? Okay? Now, there are these things that people can do. You can take these questionnaires. You can take surveys online. There's free ones. But the more you do, the less probably true that it's going to be. Because if you take in survey questions and you can figure out what's a spiritual gift, it can kind of help you a little bit, but if you can sway it in a way that you can pick your own out if you want. You can just say, I want this one, so I'm going to make myself look like I had that one. So here it is. Those are okay. They're good. Next week I can share with you how to look those up. So what we see in verse 7, he says, a manifestation of the Spirit is given to each person for the common good. That's like, what? A manifestation of the Spirit is given to each person for the common good. Wow. The Lord has given us a spiritual gift. He gives it to us spiritually. It doesn't come in the mail. It doesn't come at the store. You can't go buy it. You don't get to pick it. Now, the Bible, we'll talk next week about that you can desire. And we're going to talk about that later. But you cannot go down to McDonald's and pick this up. You can't go to Walmart and get it on sale. You can't do it. Because this specifically comes from God. Can you believe that God loves you so much that he gave his son Jesus to die for all of us, so that our sins would be forgiven? But he's not even done with that. He tells us to follow it in baptism and communion, and continues to tell us to keep the Sabbath, the fourth commandment, to keep the Sabbath, to keep it holy. The Ten Commandments, that's number 4. Can you believe that he's still not done, that he continues to bless us, but he also says, I'm going to give you my Holy Spirit, which is God's Spirit inside of you. And then he also says, I'm going to also put something else inside of you. I'm going to give you at least one spiritual gift. Isn't that amazing? Listen, life isn't just to get a ticket and say, hey, I get to go to heaven, now let me live the way I want. is to come to Christ and realize that God, this is God's world, and this, and we need to live it His way. And we need to process the Word and try to figure out how to live and lead and follow the leading of the Holy Spirit. And God has given every person a spiritual gift for the common good, for the good and upbuilding of the church. That's what it is. That's what it's there for. Verse 11, he says that, one and the same Spirit is active in all of these, distributing to each person as He wills. So we see that the same Spirit, that the Holy Spirit is active. It's active. So the Holy Spirit that God gives to us is not just sitting there, not just buried somewhere in there, but He's active. He is active. And He gives the gift by the way the Lord wants to, by the way God wants to, right? To each person as He wills. Not as you will, not as I will. I didn't pick pastoring. I wouldn't have picked pastoring. I would have picked something else. Right? So here it is. God is involved in the church. This is where we see God is involved in the church. And then it goes on to some other things on how to use all this thing about the body. But we're gonna work on these right here. But I want to also share with you, not only are these gifts given to us by the Holy Spirit, that they reside inside of us, but sometimes we have struggles with them. Timothy had a struggle with his. I want to let you know, sometimes we can go through life and because people say, oh, I lost it. I don't know what to do. I'm going to read 2 Timothy chapter 1, verse 6 and 7. You may know it by memory, but here it is. Paul is writing to Timothy. He said, dude, Timothy was pretty discouraged. He was living in fear. And this is what it says. Therefore, I remind you to rekindle the gift of God that is in you. To rekindle the gift that God is in you. Through the laying on of my hands, for God has not given us the spirit of fear, but the spirit of power, love, and a sound mind. So God is saying, Paul is saying, listen, Timothy, you got to rekindle. You got to get it started. You got to stoke it back up. It's in there, but you've letting it go down. You're afraid. You're letting all that work kind of go to the wayside, the good things that you're doing. So here it is. Some of the things like unfaithfulness, sin, fear, those kind of things, they make us weak in our faith, and they also make it where our spiritual gift is ineffective. You ever been around somebody that's a good teacher in the Lord and they stop teaching? Sometimes people get tired and they need a break. It's true. Sometimes people get tired and they need a break. Sometimes people do things that is kind of way to the side. The next thing you know, then they kind of miss a little bit and they miss more. There's things going on in their life. And what happens is what they used to do for the Lord with that spiritual gift is waning and becoming very ineffective. And God will use that. Many of you today, you knew what it was like to work within your spiritual gift, and you're not doing that today. So we struggle with that. Spiritual gifts are to be used for the uplifting of God's kingdom. So if you want to know what the list of these spiritual gifts are, you can go to 1 Corinthians chapter 12. There are some there. Also in Romans chapter 12, also in Ephesians chapter 4, and 1 Peter chapter 4. There are also some many verses throughout Scripture that talks about celibacy, some things like that. That's just only like one or two verses. They're not in the list of these, but they are there. So there are a list of things that God has given to us. I want you to turn over to Romans today. That's where we're going to begin today, in Romans chapter 12. Romans chapter 12, verse 4. I want to give you the list of these, some of these here. Romans chapter 4, verse 4 through 8. I'm sorry, did I say Romans 4? Romans 12. Sorry. I knew something was wrong. I was like, what? That's not there. Okay. Now, I just want to read this. Now, as we have many parts in the body, and all the parts do not have the same function, in the same way we who are many are of one body, and Christ individually members of one another. According to the grace given to us, we have different gifts. If prophecy, use it according to the proportion of one's faith. If service, use it service. If teaching, exhorting and exhortation, giving and generosity, leading with diligence, showing mercy with cheerfulness. And you'll see that that goes on. But what I want to catch you is, according to the grace given to each of us, we have different gifts. We all have different gifts. And it's very, very important that we realize and understand. If you've been a Christian for a while, you should know about your gift. The one thing I want to share with you is, like, how do I know what my spiritual gift is? Well, sometimes you may not know exactly what it is at the moment, but find out where you're working. Where are you serving at? What are you doing within the church? What comes easy to you? Where is it that you keep drawing yourself to? Sometimes we do things in the church that's not our spiritual gift, but we do them because that's what needs to be done. But we find out that we find that wherever we start to serve, that sometimes is the place where God has given us a spiritual gift. We just feel more comfortable in that spot. We feel more stronger in our walk in that spot. So I want to share with you some of these spiritual gifts with what little time I have left here. They're not going to be in any specific order at all, so don't think I'm just going to run down these. I wanted to get to a couple of things there. But I want to share some of these spiritual gifts for you today, tell you what they are, tell them what they are. But I also want to give you the flip side of it. Almost every spiritual gift, if you don't use it correctly, can also have a flip side. So here I want to share with exhortation, which is the spiritual gift of encouragement. Encouragement, right? So I want to read. So encouragement is to come alongside someone with words of encouragement, comfort, and consolation, and console to help them be all God wants them to be. A great encourager. Someone here, I'm sure, more than one person here, has the spiritual gift of encouragement. Encouragement is a person who just naturally comes up and doesn't see all the negatives. They see you as a person not doing so great, or you're getting ready to start something you're a little fearful of. They love to come alongside you and encourage you. Does the church not need encouragers? Yeah. But you know what? Everybody can encourage. Did you know that? We all can be encouragers. We're all called to be encouragers. But the special part of the spiritual gift of encouragement just goes way beyond the natural encourager. Usually good listeners. Usually someone that could just, they are always looking to lift other people up. They're always looking, as we say, is the glass half empty, half full? They're looking at it as, hey, you know what? They may see both sides of it, but they're encouraging you, saying, look what you have. It's more than half full. And they just love to encourage. Now, sometimes encouragers on the flip side can just get caught up all up in your business too, right? They just want to know everything. They want to get all up in there. And you know, sometimes you're like, just get away from me. So if you have the gift of encouragement, you need to make sure that you just kind of like know where you are, but you also got to have boundaries. Amen. Some things are not meant to share with everyone, but thank you for your word of encouragement. Really, thank you for your word of encouragement. I needed that today. But that's as far as we're going today. Sometimes we do have to do things with just ourselves and the Lord. But encouragement is a great gift. If you have it, don't think it's a bad gift. All of these are great gifts. The spiritual gift of encouragement, listen, we all need people to encourage us, right? Now, some of you are like, I have no clue what you're talking about. I don't encourage anybody. You have a different gift. You have a different gift. You have a different gift. Anybody feel like they got the spiritual gift of encouragement? Just lift your hand up. Don't let me call you out. Wow. We got one? We got one? We got two? Okay, so we got some. Listen, you got the spiritual gift of encouragement? You know what? Say, hey, that's what I have. And I'm going to keep sharing it. Okay? All right. So the spiritual gift of encouragement is used to encourage others, but it's also specifically used to encourage the church. Did you know churches can get down and low sometimes? Did you know the church can get kind of spiritually tired at times? Yes. So those people with the spiritual gift of encouragement, those are those moments where you go, this is where I get to exercise the spiritual gift of encouragement. Guys, we can do this. Listen, remember what God has done for us. Look what He's done for us in the past. Look where it's ahead of us. And you can just become that encourager. We need people in the church that have the spiritual gift of encouragement. Amen? Amen. That's just one. Number two today is giving. Now, some people say giving is all about how much you give. Nope. It's not about the size of tithe check you give. It's not about that you're faithful and give. We're all called to give to the Lord. Amen. We're all called to bring the tithe into the storehouse. We're all called to give. And we can battle here today as tithe. Is that what we're supposed to do? Listen, if the Lord saved you, you should know what? We should give more to the Lord than what He asked. Amen? Because you know what? You cannot get outgive God, and He'll give you more than what you asked for. Been there so many times. But the gift of giving, it is the giver is concerned for the needs of others and seeks opportunities to share goods and money and time, whatever is needed. The spiritual gift of giving. They love to give. Not just money, they love to give time. They love to give. They just love to give. Church needs people who are givers. Sometimes somebody's hurting off to the side and someone is a giver and they just go over there and they help that person. Someone is in need of something and that person hears a need. If we say something from the altar that we from the pulpit or someplace in the conversation that, hey, there's a need, and always going to the occasion. Always, what do they need? What do they need? Doesn't mean they're going to take care of all of it, but sometimes it's just a person who maybe gives a couple of dollars, but they're always doing something. Or it's a person who can take care of all of it or half of it. And this person is a giving type person, or a person that says, hey, what is needed? And so they do that. But there is a flip side to the giver. Really? Is there a flip side to the giver? Yes. Yes. You begin to do things for people that they can do on their own, and they see that you're a giver, and they keep coming to you, and you keep giving to them because you can't help yourself. I'm a giver. So you keep giving, and then you made yourself an enabler. You're doing something for someone that they can do for themselves. And so we struggle with that. We struggle with that. Flip side of giving. I mean, there's a flip side of the spiritual gift of giving. We have to be careful. Use the spiritual gift of giving. Pray before you give. Seek the Holy Spirit to lead you. Sometimes the Lord knows things about a situation that you have no clue, so you need to pray. Lord, is this something that I need to give to? Just don't jump up and start always giving, but seek the direction of the Holy Spirit. Sometimes people that also give have to be, you have to be careful, because sometimes when you have the spiritual gift of giving, you also start to say, you're not really releasing it, you just still want to control it. I want to give $100, but I want to know, but I want it to do this, this, and that. That's not just one time, but it's continuous. So your gift, so what you're doing is you're giving gifts with the strings attached. That's not how God teaches. Amen? His salvation was not strings attached. So we have to watch ourselves. The gift of giving is a great spiritual gift, and it resides in the church. Some of you are great. You have the spiritual gift of giving. Now, there is a difference between giving and service, and we'll talk about that. So, but the spiritual gift of giving is needed here. And there are people that have the spiritual gift of giving that continues to give to our ministries that may be across the country. There's an individual that's well in his upper age and retired, and he's in Missouri, on that Missouri-Arkansas line, and he's been giving for about 5 or 6 years every month. And he gives because he believes in what we're doing. Will he ever come here? Probably not. Kneel to none. You don't know him. He didn't even come up here on the mission trip. Never put one foot in Huntington. I checked the mail this morning because Savannah's not here. And you know what? His faithful $35 came in today. Gift of giving. The spiritual gift of giving. And so we see that if we have the spiritual gift of giving, we have to be cautious to do it in the way the Lord wants and not put strings attached. Also, we look at leadership. Leadership is the ability to lead people in a way that directs and motivates others to follow, to get involved in the accomplishments of the church. And so we have those in the church that have leadership. And leadership is something that God puts in. You can go to leadership conferences, you can go to all those, and sometimes people have to learn how to be a leader. We all have to learn how to be a leader. Even if you have the spiritual gift, it's good to fine-tune that spiritual gift, because we are to sharpen that. We are to fan that thing into flame, you know, stoke it back up. But leadership, some people want to be leaders, but they just struggle with leadership. Some people are better with leadership with three people. Some people can be better at leaderships with 10 or 15 people. And it goes on up from there. But we're all called to be leaders in our home. Amen. Fathers are called to be leaders in their home. Mothers are called to be leaders at home and in the family. So we all have some leadership ability. But in this part here, the spiritual gift, it's where you couldn't do it before. But when you become a believer, and God gives you the Holy Spirit of leadership, all of a sudden now that you're being able to lead in a way that you never thought you could ever do. And the only reason I'm staying here is because it's a holy spiritual gift that God has given. That's the only reason. But there's a flip side to spiritual gift of leadership. We have to be careful not to be prideful and arrogant. We have to be careful that we've not arrived. We have to be careful that a leadership is that we stop learning. Leaders have to keep learning. Leaders have to keep learning. Even with the spiritual gift of leadership, we have to continue to realize and understand and always know that leadership ability and gift comes from the Lord Himself. That we cannot do it on our own. So leadership is needed inside the church. When you don't have leadership, then you have people following one another and we have no direction. And without leadership, everything falls apart. You have to have leadership. Even when Jesus was walking with the disciples, He was teaching those disciples on how to be a leader. And during those years, those 3 years that He was walking with them, then there was the day that He left everyone and ascended up into heaven. And then they were left there. What do we do? What do we do? And they kind of all went back. But they knew what they needed to do because there's leaders. And even in that bunch of leaders, there were three leaders. And even in those three leaders, then we see Peter being the strong leader. Peter, James, and John being the strong leaders of the 12. So leadership is something that is given to us by the Holy Spirit that we would have a strong church in that way. Now we come to the next one. Mercy. Mercy. To be sensitive toward those who are suffering. People with mercy don't always look at the situation. They look at the person. They look at the person on what's happening. How is it affecting them? They look at where the person, how they're standing, how they're working through things. Their heart and their compassion just comes out. They're not looking at what they did. They're looking at just giving mercy, compassion to those who may not deserve it. They did the crime. They should do the time. Mercy says, wait a minute. That's a person. You know, some of us, I'm so thankful that God gave us the gift of mercy, because some of us would just want to slap that hand so much. We want to get angry with the gift of mercy because we think they ought to be all, we just get upset. We want to be hard on them because they did it. They are not living in the ways of the Lord. And they, you know what it is? We're the people that begin to lose hope. The gift of mercy continues to lean on hope. We begin to lean on hope. Now listen, I want you, if you're young, I'm telling you, God has got some plans in you. Some of you older, you done let it go. I'm going to be honest, you got to figure it out. You're still breathing, you got to figure it out. You have to figure it out. You have time, you've got to figure it out. Because you're accountable for the gift, the gifts. Some of you have more than one gift. You're going to stand before God and give an account of what He's given to you. And you're not going to be able to say, I didn't know. Young people, be hungry. Seek it out. Lord, what do you want? Have hunger. Seek. Bible says, ask and you shall receive. Seek and you shall find. Knock and the door shall be open. Be active in your Christian life. Don't be there. Don't sit there and do nothing. Your life is a gift. God gave you a life. You don't know how many years you have, but you have one life to live. And God's given you something special, at least one, that you can live it out louder than you ever could on your own, whatever that gift is. And if it's the gift of mercy, we need the gift of mercy in this church. Oh, with the ministries we have, We probably need a little more mercy. Someone misses church for 5 weeks. I just can't believe they didn't come to church. I can't believe they didn't come to church for five. I can't believe we haven't seen them for 2 months. Gift of mercy says, you know what? Something might be going on. I need to pray for them. We probably all need a little more mercy, amen? I'm not talking about the mercy that the world's talking about. That's a bunch of horror. That's a bunch of hogwash. I'm talking about real mercy. Real mercy. Mercy says, wait. Wait a minute. Wait a minute. Look at their eyes. Look at them. A person. Yeah, I know the situation's bad. I know what they did. Mercy. Mercy always wants, when judgment happens, mercy always says, can we give them less? Grace says, wipe it all away. It's funny how we want grace from God. It's funny how we want mercy from God, but we struggle giving it to others. Come on, amen. I got to say that myself, amen. Thank God for the spiritual gift of mercy. Sometimes you were like, growing up, your mom may not have had a lot of mercy on that paddle, but remember, sometimes they were doing it for the right reasons. Prophecy. Prophecy, to identify undone tasks in God's work. They see the future. However minimal, very small, some people think it is, it's an available resource that God uses. Prophecy. Speaking of something. It's foretelling of what God's will is. Prophecy is God's will saying something is going to happen. And someone in the church has the gift of prophecy. Now, some people think prophecy is done. Now, does that make you a prophet if God speaks to you and tells you something? Does that make you a prophet? Let's just use the word prophecy. We don't see any prophets. Prophets were always talking about the coming of Christ, all those things. But prophecy, some denominations and some beliefs, other believers out there believe very heavily in prophecy, prophecy conferences, prophecy services. All I'm going to say is this. I have the Holy Spirit too. I don't need all people coming up to me, and I don't need to go to a prophecy conference to tell me what God is going to do. God gave us His Word. Now, there are things that people can give messages, and God can give prophetic pieces through people to speak to people about certain things. Those things are true. Experienced that with a few people, but it is the foretelling of God's will. But the flip side of prophecy is this. Because God hasn't spoken to someone through someone for a while, you almost want to they start making things up. They start thinking that, oh, that God only speaks through me. I'm the prophet of this church. So we have to be very, very careful of the gift of prophecy. It can be a very dangerous thing when misused. You don't get to pick it. You don't get to pick when it comes on. That's the difference. Spiritual gift of mercy, you have it. Spiritual gift of prophecy, you don't pick it. You don't flip the switch on. It's when the Holy Spirit speaks through someone. So I don't need to go to a conference. I just need to be sensitive to the Holy Spirit. You see, what I'm trying to tell you today is it's all about drawing closer to the Lord and His Holy Spirit. He's got a lot to say. He's got a lot to do. So prophecy is that. Prophecy, speaking prophetic pieces, doesn't make you an extra special person. It really doesn't. It just means God's using you to speak something from Him. Prophecy is real. I still believe that God speaks prophetic pieces through people. I really do. I believe that. But I've had people come up and say they're prophets, and the prophets will say something, and I'll say, that didn't happen. Oh, tomorrow this is going to happen. It didn't happen. You know one thing in the Old Testament about prophets? They were never wrong. Speaking God's word, they were never wrong. have to be careful that prophetic pieces are used in the way when God turns on the switch, not when we want to turn it on. Got to move real quick. Service to identify undone tasks. God's work. Whatever needs to be done, the people with the gift of service, they get it done. They do it. These people will work. They stay after church. They do things before. They just keep working. They serve. They're just served. They want to help. They do things. Now, we all can do things, but they always seem to be there. They always be a part of all the things in the church. They want to be, and they want to serve. They don't have to make the decisions, but they want to serve. And we need that. We need people that will serve in the church. We need people that will serve in the ministries. We need people that will serve. The flip side of that is to have that gift, you have to make sure that everything doesn't have to be your way. People of service have that sometimes. There's only one way to do it, and it's got to be my way, because it's not good unless I do that. So the gift of service, we need to make sure that we do it in the way that the Holy Spirit wants us to, with a loving heart. This is where you can lose your loving heart. I'm the only ones here. No, you have to do and serve with a loving heart. Last one this morning is teaching, to instruct in the Bible knowledge, to lead others to a closer walk with the Lord through understanding and personal growth of the Scriptures. We need people. Sometimes you might fill in for a class, you might do that, but the people that have the spiritual gift of teaching, we need that. Amen? We do need that because they study. The Bible comes just easier for them in some sense. They may have to study harder, so whatever it may be, but they want to come to the knowledge of what the Scriptures really mean. Because listen, folks, there's a lot of believers walking around and have been under bad teaching, unbiblical teaching. Yes. So there is no excuse not to be taught by good leaders here at the church. You have opportunity to be a part of services, but not only just services, but we have life groups, we have other groups. So you have the opportunity to be a part of those as well. As again, I said, you can take assessments. There's more that we're going to go through next week, but you can take assessments online and they ask you questions. And sometimes there are 100, 120, there's so many gifts, that's why they do it. Like 120 questions might take you 30, 40, and maybe an hour. And it'll give you a little bit of like what your major gifts may be, what your minors may be. And I'll bring that in next week. But I just want to let you know today that if you're sitting here as a believer of Christ, you have at least one spiritual gift. Now, if you're running around doing life the way you want to do, you may not even know what it is. You may be older and say, I really don't know what my spiritual gift is. Well, wherever you're serving, it can help you. But also, you can talk to someone. You can talk to someone. You can say, hey, I really don't know. And we can start that adventure on finding out what that spiritual gift is. So today, that's what it is. You have a spiritual gift. Now, if we take someone like Gracie, who's young, she may not be doing all these things, but there's a spiritual gift in here that's not been fully developed. It's like there. God hasn't turned it on completely yet because we're growing. We're growing. And young people, sometimes it ignites quick, and other times it's coming. It's just not ready to be used at that moment. When we're older, we should know what it is. Now, don't get upset if you don't know what it is. Just get a hunger to find out what it is. Because many of you don't just have one. You have more than one. You can have two. You can have three. Whatever it is that the Lord has given to you. Now, I want to tell you, that doesn't make you better than those who have two if you have four. If you have two, it doesn't make you better with one. Someone recently told me, here's the thing. All it is about being obedient. I know this, somebody told me that there were two angels, and one angel was told, this is where you're going to go. You're going to go to this city where it's beautiful, and all these people are just great. And everything in the atmosphere there, that city just does very good things. And you're going to be over that city. And the Lord told the other angel, you're going to go over here and you're going to go to this city way over here where it's dark and a lot of sin and evil. And you're going to be over that city. And the conversation between the angels was nothing. And they just left, dispersed. You couldn't tell the difference between either one. Know why? Because they're called to be obedient. Doesn't matter. Doesn't matter if you're sent to this one. Doesn't matter if you're sent to that one. Doesn't matter what spiritual gift you have. You're called to be obedient. Amen? But you can't use it when you're not walking with the Lord. It's not going to be where it needs to be, and you're not going to be able to use it the way you want to use it if you're not working in the ways in the Lord wants you to live your life. So, Father, we're getting ready to go to this moment where we just need to pray. We need to seek you during our time of altar call. I pray, Father, Lord, that you would just use, Lord, your Spirit to speak to each person here today. Each one of them has a gift, Lord. May you begin to move that in their person. And whatever it is that you need to do today, may your will be done. And may we be obedient to you. In Christ's name, amen. Let's go ahead and stand.